Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some cosa que no me veía, pero,
Yeah, obviously I didn't expect to face him at all, but yeah, I'm just happy that I'm going to get to see him soon and to get to pitch against him, and the plan is to attack him and try to get him out.
What would be a fair way to describe your friendship and bond over the years?
No, very good. I know him since I was in the minor league, so he's always been a great guy to me. So, yeah, good. No, I don't think so. Even if we get together beforehand, I don't think baseball is going to be a topic at all while we're together. So I don't think we're going to even touch that. We'll see. We'll see. Like you say, he's a good hitter. We'll see on Saturday.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We're coming to you live here in Boston, up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and, of course, the islands. And if you're not in any of those places, you can listen on demand anytime. Just download the Audacy app. That's Audacy. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. As I said before the break, we'll be joined at 7:30 by Christopher Smith from Mass Live, who is out in California, probably checking out Haight-Ashbury or something tonight. Or what's that big windy road in San Francisco? You know what I'm talking about? It's like super windy. It's like ridiculously windy.
Oh, I know what you mean, but I don't have the name for it.
Checking out the Godiva Chocolate Factory down to Alcatraz. Didn't Trump say he wanted to open Alcatraz back up?
Yeah, I remember that report.
That ever go anywhere?
I don't think it did. I think it's still closed.
I think it's still definitely closed.
All I can tell you about San Francisco is Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge, sure, yeah.
Probably going back and forth on that.
Mm-hmm.
Where Full House was filmed.
That's right. You can go up to, you can find that house. I've never found it, but you can find that house. I have a friend. He doesn't live there anymore, but he used to live in Oakland. And he lived right by this place called S&S Seafood. And when I tell you, it was some of the best seafood I've ever had. It was all like fried, but it was like, it wasn't New England fried seafood. It was West Coast Pacific fried seafood. And I wasn't sure what to make of it or what to expect. And it was so freaking good. Can you look and see if that place is still there? S&S Seafood in Oakland. Oh, was that place amazing. That was, and you know me, I'm picky, but like that was A+. And one of the, my favorite landmarks from the Bay Area. In the times that I visited. Anyway, Red Sox visiting the Bay Area, visiting their old friend, Rafael Devers. And as I said last night,
it's closed.
It is? Closed permanently?
Updated June 2025 on Yelp. This location is closed.
Damn. That's a shame. Well, too bad. nothing lasts forever. Probably a COVID casualty. Anyway, it's not often that the Red Sox trade one of their players away or let one of their players go off to a team in the NL West, and then you got to face them right away. I still don't even know if the Red Sox have played a game against Xander Bogaerts. I'm not sure that they have. Have they?
No, they have. San Diego's come to
But did Bogaerts play? I feel like Bogaerts was hurt when they were here.
You know what? I do. My memory is jogging that he went on the trip, but I don't think he played.
I don't think he played either. I don't think there was a big like ovation for it. And I may be completely bugging right now. and just absolutely missed it. But I don't think, and if they did, then it was very brief, and it wasn't like right in your face a couple of days after the trade. That's what's so unique about this. Mookie Betts gets traded. You don't see Mookie Betts for a while. He's out with the Dodgers, you know? Xander Bogaerts, I don't even remember if he even played in that series. I don't think he did. I don't even know if he was here. I don't remember there being any big thing or big moment for him at the plate. But regardless, and again, I may be misremembering, none of that happened. And then you had to play the team right away. And you had to see the guy right away in the other uniform playing against you right away. And I feel like in instances prior, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, etc., they were younger, first of all. So they were maybe a little bit more reactive to that type of thing. Yes, Joe?
He never played in Boston as the Padres, but he's played against them.
He played against them in San Diego?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it didn't happen at Fenway. I guess that's how I remember it. Fine. But still, it's not like, you know, it's not like it was a thing that happened right away. It's not like, oh, God, yeah, no Xander Bogaerts. Well, okay, we got to play him right now. This is not even a week later. Not even a week later, and they got to face this. They got to confront this. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Red Sox react. I'm looking forward to seeing how Devers reacts. I heard Ted today say something about how he thinks Devers is going to try too hard to hit homers and he's going to be an easy out. I think there's a possibility that Rafael Devers goes bananas this weekend. I just have a feeling that that's on the dock. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm not saying go out and bet it. And even if I was, I wouldn't listen to me these days. I certainly have been had a rough.
We've heard
season.
Your locks of the game.
My
on
locks
game.
Of the game. Yeah, holy moly! I've hit one. I think I'm like Christian Campbell. I've hit one all month.
Where do we demote you then?
That's a good question.
What's the AAA version of EEI?
It's the night show. I'm already there. So there you go. But yeah, it's a. We'll see. I want to see Devers and how he handles this. I want to see how they pitch him. The pitchers that Devers is going to have to face, no Crochet, which lucky for him, no Buehler, I don't think, which not so good for him.
Lucky for the Sox.
Yeah. Dobbins tomorrow, Bayo on Saturday, who you just heard there, and Giolito on Sunday. And that's it. No Crochet, no Buehler. Dobbins has been good lately. Bayo's been good lately. Giolito's been great lately. Let's see how they pitch the Rafi Devers. I'm looking forward to it. Dave is in Swansea. He's looking forward to it, too. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I'm looking forward to see if maybe we get a pitcher that will throw at him.
That will throw at Devers.
I'd love to see it. I mean, I'm not happy now that he's willing to play any position for the other team and win for us. And, you know, he used to be one of my favorite players, but I got no problem throwing at him. I'd love to see it. Maybe spark up the rest of the team, get the bats going, start a new rivalry. But yeah, I'd love to see somebody drop him. Like if we had Pedro on the mound, Pedro would drop him instantly.
He'd go up and in. He'd go up under the chin for sure. And maybe Devers deserves that a little bit. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I'm not saying you got to hit him with the pitch. I'm just saying you want to back him up off the plate. I'm not going to have a huge issue with that either. I always think that's a bit of a gray area talking about that, throwing at guys, hitting guys. I'm not saying, you know, you want to hurt him. But if they want to send a message to Rafael Devers that, hey, you were being a real a-hole here. Hey, we really could have used you moving over to first or third base. Hey, we were all willing to sacrifice for the team and you weren't. And now your attitude, and I don't know if this is how they feel about it, but I think they probably do based on the reactions that you got from the other players. Your attitude got you shipped out of here. And you made our team worse.
See, the thing that I think about is that Alex Cora is someone who tries to avoid controversy, right, at least on the field, as much as possible. I always go back to the 2021 ALCS when Eduardo Rodriguez was doing the thing that Correa was doing. And you immediately go to Cora being like, hey, stop it. And then you had him playing the peacemaker earlier today between the Angels pitching coach and Stevenson, whatever. This might be a situation where he maybe makes an exception.
Maybe. I hated when Cora did that, by the way. I hated when he was like, no, stop making fun of Carlos Correa. Like, chill out, Alex. You know, he's doing that same thing. He started it. Like, what? You know, like, what's wrong with that? If the guy's out there showing you up and then you get him out and you want to show him back up, then show him back up. Why? What are you getting all bent out of shape about that for?
This is Cora doing the deep thinking, like, if you taunt him, it's going to inspire him. He's going to have that anger fuel, and he's going to hit 8 home runs.
Okay, but, you know, like, get a grip. He's been doing it the whole time. And you got him out and you got him back, and you want to maybe do a little thing, do it. Who cares? He's like, no, stop! Stop it! Oh, no, 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 don't make fun of Carlos Correa. It's like, relax, man. You know? Just relax. That was way over the top, I thought. I hated that. I forgot about that. It was like 4 years ago. I hated that. Oh, man. Get a grip. Let's go to the phones. Allie is in the car. She has a thought on John Henry. Hi, Allie.
Hi. First, I just want to give a shout-out to who called in for the first month of the season and said how badly they wanted Tristan Casas off first base, because what's happened with Tristan Casas injured and off first base? So you got what you wished for, guys. You're welcome. Or congratulations, whatever you should say.
Yeah, a little late with that, Allie, but that's okay. Allie, if we're on speakerphone, can you maybe take us off speakerphone, because it's hard to hear you?
Sure.
Okay. That's already
I am
sounds
a little
better.
Late with that.
Okay, that sounds better.
But
that's all right, Allie. I'm late with takes, too. I was just talking about something that happened 4 years ago, so don't worry about it. What else you got?
I'm pissed at this trade. I have been a Red Sox fan for 25 years, and for the first time in my life, I've stopped watching the Red Sox. I have no interest in watching this team anymore. John Henry has completely nailed the coffin shut. I will probably watch this weekend so I can watch Devers beat up on the Red Sox, and I hope he does. I hope he plays first, third, and DH against them. They did him so dirty, and I don't really need to get into the details of, like, who did what and who's in the right and who's in the wrong. Like, it's not just about Devers. It's been years of people saying, John Henry, sell the team. You are ruining it. Fenway Sports Group is the reason I became a Red Sox fan, because of what they did for Fenway, what they did for the team. And now they're just running them straight into the ground so they can become what? More multi-billionaires? Like, cool, guys.
Allie, that's a great phone call. Great phone call. Call back anytime. That was excellent. And I agree with you. I will say that you're letting Devers off the hook, like, a lot, though. Like, that's the main thing I'd counter with. Yeah, you want to get after Breslow and John Henry, and listen, I'm right there with you, but there's blame to go around on the Devers side of this thing, too. And you can say they did him dirty. I don't know that that's true. Doing him dirty would have been saying, hey, we need you to take a pay cut. Hey, Raffy, you know, we're gonna bring in this other player, but in order to do that, we got to get under the luxury tax, and we're going to need you to, I don't know, not that you even can do that. It's baseball. You can't even do that. But, like, hypothetically, that would be like doing him dirty. Having him go from third base to DH, and then when your first baseman gets hurt, saying, hey, we need help here, it's an emergency, and him saying, no, bleep you. Like, that's more him doing the team dirty, I think, than vice versa. But the team has plenty to answer for here as well, including the terrible return. And listen, Allie's not alone. I've heard other people say similar things. I'm done with this team. I'm not watching this team anymore. Mookie Betts was bad enough. They're doing it again. I'm done. I'm out. I've had people, fans who have been fans longer than Allie, 65 years they've been following the team, and they're done. I've been hearing this for 4 days now. And first of all, I don't necessarily believe all of you. Sorry, Allie, but I mean, she was like, I am going to watch this weekend. It's like, I know you are. I am too. We all are. Everybody who's mad at the team is at least going to watch this weekend. And I got news for you. If they sweep San Francisco this weekend, you're going to watch on Monday, too.
I will boycott this team.
Well, they are winning. And, you know, the pitching staff's really hot right now. So maybe I'll start my boycott next week.
Yeah. That's the argument you could make about the Sox playing better, is that they don't have what apparently Bradford was saying around the clubhouse, is that it feels looser and that it was just another day or whatever. I know we'll play the clip later on, but the clubhouse, not saying that, like, on paper they're going to play much better than Rafi Devers. No, they're not a better team without Rafael Devers. Is the spirit probably better? Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, great. Don't care. Like, I mean, I did spirits.
You don't win games based on spirit.
Sure. I mean, you know, like, spirit's great. I hope the vibes are immaculate, you know, as the kids like to say. But are they winning games or not? Because they started winning games and then they traded their best player right as that started happening. That's a big gamble. That's a major gamble. And I've already gone through the stages of grief from someone whose time slot is dictated by how many people are listening to Red Sox games. I mean, that's, you know, that's the way it is. Another month, we just got another monthly over there. We know, we're seeing how this works. And for people to be re-engaged with the team, for them to sweep the Yankees at Fenway and have one series against them and Tampa prior to that, and then another series here with Seattle, which I know happened afterwards, but like, you know, like this is a stretch that we haven't had yet. This is a stretch that this team hasn't had yet. And to predict a future without Rafael Devers, to predict this team to continue winning games the way they have been, 2-0, 3-1, 4-3, you know.
There's a good vibe here.
Leaning on the starting pitching. I'm sure the vibes are great. But, you know, the vibes being great is not why you're winning. You're winning because your starting pitchers are going out there and shoving. That's why you're winning. You're winning because Giolito has suddenly turned a season around. You're winning because Bayo's going deep into games now, and you're winning because Garrett Crochet is the man. And Hunter Dobbins is also kind of the man, too, no matter what his dad says. Like Hunter Dobbins is cool. I like Hunter Dobbins. I like how he, like, created this entire controversy and then came out and faced the music, and then he went out and beat the Yankees. Like, all of that was pretty cool. I thought that was a pretty cool showing from the kid.
Instead of the man, he's like the guy. Yeah. Then you graduate to the man.
He's like, he's the dude right now. He's that guy.
He's the dude.
And he's going tomorrow night. So that's why the team's winning. It's not because they traded Devers, and when they were winning prior to that, it's not because of Rafael Devers. He didn't power this team to this win streak they're on. No. The starting pitching has been doing it, and the bullpen to a lesser extent, and the offense is getting just enough to beat some of these teams.
That's the thing, is that they're winning these games without those big hitters. When Abreu right. comes in, lineup will be better. When Bregman comes back, lineup will be better. If you can stay afloat, like I think it was Jones and Keefe who were saying it earlier, is that if you just stay afloat, sort of in that range that you were last year, where you could sort of medium buy at the deadline, it's not that bad of a spot to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I hope that medium buying at the deadline, if they continue to win and, you know, cement themselves in the wild card, I hope a medium buy is not what they're talking about. I hope that that's not what they're shooting for. I hope that at the deadline they go and they really replace the Rafael and make this team what it should have been and go out at the deadline and get someone who's going to replace some of that production. Because you're getting good performances from some of these guys internally. You're getting good stuff from Toro, from Romy Gonzalez. Those guys are playing well. Rob Refsnyder, like, you're doing okay. But If you're still gliding like this and you get to the deadline, I want to see some commitment made there. And I think medium buying is not what I'm looking for. And I also wonder if maybe some of that gets involved in a potential unjamming of the logs here. Because the Athletic has a trade block big board on it, and Red Sox, a prominent Red Sox who's just coming off the IL, is right there on top of it. And looking around, there may be some questions that have to be answered here about who goes where, who plays where, who stays in the outfield, who comes to the infield, who's DHing, who's playing first base. They've had a bunch of different DHs, three different DHs in three games. So I wouldn't say that that's settled at all. And some of that may be settled by another trade. So we'll talk about that right after Joe Braverman and get you caught up on what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the pitch. Willier drives one high and deep into right field. At the track. At the wall. Gone! He got the slider. He launched a three-run homer. His second of the day. And it is 5-2 Red Sox.
Willier, Abreu, take a bow, buddy.
Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. Christopher Smith, Mass Live, will join us in about 4 minutes here. Wanted to talk about this piece in The Athletic. MLB Trade Deadline Big Board is what it is labeled. It is written by Tim Britton, Aaron Gleeman, and another fellow. Eno Saris. They ranked a big board of potential trade chips across Major League Baseball. And Willier Abreu landed on the list as the seventh most desirable target of the trade market this year. And they wrote, Abreu, like Jaron Duran, could become expendable in Boston thanks to the wave of young bats. But he's also young enough at 26 and under team control for long enough till 2029 to be part of the Red Sox long-term plan, putting them in the driver's seat for any potential negotiations. Even if the Red Sox are open to trading Abreu, there's no rush to do so now. He's putting up very good numbers at the plate that are in line with a strong rookie showing, and he will be in the mix for a second Gold Glove award and won't even be arbitration eligible until 2027. In this article, they had each person and where they rank, and then after the write-up, they grade the likelihood of that player actually getting traded. And they said that Abreu is not likely to get moved. And I tend to agree, but I'm basing it off of the idea that the Red Sox keep playing well. Does that make sense? I feel like if the Red Sox go into a tailspin, if the Red Sox crash and burn, then trades like Abreu or even Duran or really anybody, I think are suddenly back on the table. Not anybody. I don't think they're going to trade Roman Anthony, but you know what I mean. Like, I think that, you know, guys like Aroldis Chapman, for example, or, you know, anybody who's Giolito, people on a one-year deal, like that type of thing. Things start going south in the next couple of weeks, and that's really all we're talking about here. It's like 1 month until, you know, until we're in the danger zone. A little more than that until we get to the trade deadline. 1 month till we're at the All-Star break, folks. Like, we're there. And really, once you get to the All-Star break, you probably know what you're doing at the trade deadline at that point. If you're still haven't quite figured it out yet and you're waiting on those last 2 weeks to decide, then that means you're probably not, you know, you probably don't know what you're doing. Or you know that you're going to not add. At any rate, for more on that and for more on a wild, wild week in the Boston Red Sox team organization and, of course, on the beat as well, we're joined from Mass Live by Christopher Smith, who is, I believe, out in San Francisco, right, Chris? I thought I saw you tweeting from out there.
Yeah, I was in Seattle, so I actually flew home last night. I was supposed to stay a couple extra days to do some stuff in Seattle, but that got canceled, so I flew home. So it's actually Cotillo that's in San Francisco, although Sean McAdam is headed there, too.
Okay.
But I was in Seattle for all the fun this week.
Oh, very good. It's hard to keep track of all you Mass Live guys and where you're going and where you're at. But, yeah, I was reading all that, and you had a lot of very, very good info. So let's go ahead and start back on Sunday when we all got the notification. This was not something that I think many people were really even considering was a possibility. After a month had gone by, I kind of thought, and I think a lot of people thought, Chris, that this whole thing had blown over. And the reason why you think that is because the team's winning games, and it looks like whatever was you know, holding things up was behind them, and now they're ready to go forward. And then all of a sudden, here comes this big news. Is it safe to say that this wasn't ever going to blow over, and it was really just a matter of time and a matter of when they were able to find the right trade partner?
Yeah, I think okay. That's fair to say. I think things, you know, soured a lot more in the last few weeks. And so, like, you know, I mean, there was players that weren't happy with Rafi. There were some that were on his side. There were some that weren't. But ultimately, you know, the front office, you know, from, you know, Craig Breslow to, you know, Sam Kennedy, everyone there, I think that, you know, they were kind of fed up with the situation. They weren't exactly happy with him not being a team player. That was the most important thing in this all. I mean, you know, you can have bad communication, and that's one thing, and that's the fault of Craig Breslow or whatever. But, you know, you're being a bad teammate if you don't do certain things for your teammates. I mean, you got to look past certain things. That's one person in the organization, Craig Breslow. When you're not, you know, you're not even considering playing first base for your teammates. When a guy ruptures his patella tendon and there's no one to play that position, I mean, that's not being a good teammate. I also felt like in New York, that final game in New York on that Sunday night game, you know, Rafael Devers did not hustle out a play that he should have beaten in first. And, you know, I tweeted it out then. You know, I thought he should have been benched for that game, for the rest of that game. And, you know, I think that the organization covered for him a little bit. You know, Cora at that point said it wasn't a lack of hustle. But, like, you know, a week later, I'm not saying that was the cherry on the top, right. But I mean, there was a lot of stuff that you can look to, and just a bad attitude. And, you know, I mean, he has some reason to be upset, but there's also, he deserves a lot of blame in this.
I agree with you that he does. You've covered him his whole career, right? I mean, you've been on the beat basically the whole time he's been here.
Yeah.
When did he sort of go from being this happy-go-lucky, you know, happy kid to what we're sort of seeing now, this malcontent who doesn't want to move and doesn't want to budge and is very openly insubordinate, really? I mean, lighting up his GM like that, going into a meeting with the owner and basically telling him to go screw it. Like, it didn't seem like early on in his career that Rafael Devers was this kind of guy.
Yeah. I think that things turned more last year. And at the beginning of the year, it was interesting. I did a one-on-one interview with him in Oakland, and that was the first road trip of the year. They were in Seattle, Oakland, and Anaheim. And, you know, I asked him about, like, his previous year. And he had talked about how it was disappointing and whatever. And so I kind of, like, went into that with him, like, well, you know, disappointing. Some people were critical of your year, but you did put up good numbers at the end and stuff like that. And he was kind of, like, upset at that, you know, interview. And I was like, this is weird. And I talked to the Spanish translator about it. And, you know, and then one other guy on the beat was like, yeah, I got the same thing from him on this road trip. And then for the rest of that year, it wasn't like the happy-go-lucky, you can go up to him and interview him at any time. And, you know, there were less interviews, one-on-one interviews being done. There was less interaction with the media, not wanting to speak with the media after games, after losses especially. But, like, you know, I mean, he just didn't want to take, like, the accountability that a leader should take. And, you know, maybe that's not his personality or whatever, fine. But it got to the point where last September, you know, in New York, yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but, like, you know, we have a lot to do after the game. I'm not saying that we, you know, make it like the media, but, you know, like, we told the Spanish translator, went over to him after the game and said, they're waiting for you. And then he sat in front of his locker for like an hour and then took a shower. And then he just walked out, and you had like two media relations people chasing after him. I mean, the only thing, I don't care if a player doesn't want to talk to the media, but if they know that the media wants to talk to them, just tell them an hour and a half before so we don't have to waste our time standing in there. I thought that was extremely unprofessional. And, you know, and that's why I brought it up at that time. There was many times during the year he didn't talk to us. But because of that, you know, that's why I brought it up at that time. I usually don't like to go after players for not speaking to the media because, you know, people really don't care how they treat us. But that I felt was important because he was just kind of like, you know, it was just tone deaf on his part and stuff like that. So I think the problems really began last year. And then they just, like, you know, this year, right from the first day, he was just, you know, really upset about being the DH or whenever they signed Bregman. He didn't go to Bregman's press conference. He actually walked right by Bregman's press conference when other teammates were there. And so, yeah, it was just not a good situation this year. And it's unbelievable that in year two of a 10-year deal, he's gone.
Yeah. And it sounds like, and listen, I mean, this is just based off of kind of the timeline here. It sounds like this all started right around the time that Craig Breslow got here. And the only reason I bring it up like that is because Devers really made a point of laying into Breslow through his translator, into a microphone, in the clubhouse with people walking by saying, hey, Raffy, stop, you know, like, stop talking. And it doesn't seem like that's something that just popped up this year. Like, I kind of agree with you. It seems like it was more deep-seated, and I wonder if maybe this attitude change coincided with someone like Breslow coming to town and doing the big audit of the team and, you know, deciding, hey, you know, we're paying a lot of money for this guy who's not very good at third base, or just something, you know? Like, they say they didn't communicate with him very well, but it seems like Devers was kind of reading the tea leaves there.
He clearly was not a fan of Craig Breslow. I mean, to call out your, you know, chief baseball officer in the way that he did,
yeah,
you know, do your job, that type of, you know, like, get a first baseman, and, you know, and you know, there's like, if I'm asked to do something at work, I do it. If you're asked to do something at work, you do it. But, you know, he makes $313 million, and, you know, that has brought a sense of entitlement in a way that, you know, and I'm surprised that he wasn't more open to the relationship wasn't great with Craig, because Craig did play, right? Like,
right.
You know, you respect people that have played the game, and Craig Breslow was a heck of a reliever on that 2013 World Series championship team. And so, you know, I've seen Craig get along with players, talk with players during spring training. He was in the clubhouse this week in Seattle talking with players, smiling. There are players that get along with him. There's players that like him. I don't know what the deal was with Raffy. I think it was just stemmed in bad communication. But, you know, ultimately, you know, you look at that and it's like, well, are you really going to tell Rafael Devers that he's not going to play third base if you haven't signed Bregman yet? Like, you know, there's things that you just can't
right.
say. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're trying to trade a player, you don't tell them, right? Because that leads to, so there's obviously some things that you have to not say to players. And so, you know, to, you know, you can talk about bad communication all you want, but there are some things you just don't say until it happens. If you never sign Bregman, then he has to play third. So why bring it up before the fact?
We're talking with Christopher Smith from Mass Live, joining us here in the Christian Arcan Show. Chris, the news of the day, Christian Campbell being sent back down to Worcester. I think it was a couple weeks too late, personally. He struggled mightily since that first month. What does this mean for an organization that was so gung-ho about getting him out there, having him be the opening day starter, and a team that's been so careful with their other two prospects and their other two rookies, but they threw him right out there and now suddenly have to reassess where they are with this player?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I felt like in spring training, if you've only played, I think it's 176 games in the minor leagues, he played a year and a half. Like, he was drafted in 2023. He played that August and September, and then he played one full year in the minors. And then he gets to Major League spring training camp, and he did not play well. And there was people there that know baseball that said to me, like, he's not good defensively. And, you know, and he didn't hit at all during spring training. So
right.
It was like, it was basically them knowing ahead of time, like as spring training began, that, you know, Christian Campbell is the second baseman. You know, it's going to be hard for him to lose his job in spring training, no matter what he does. That's what they had in their heads. That's what they wanted. And I felt it was a bad way to go about things, because when you have a, you know, you have a rookie that hasn't played that much, you think that you have to prove it, right? Or
right.
Earn it. And he didn't exactly earn it. And he's been like, he's a nice kid. I mean, he's a great kid. And he's positive and he wants to play better and all that. So I'm not trying to like rag on him here. Like, but I said at the time, like, he's not ready. And I'm not trying to prove that I was right or whatever right now. I think a lot of people looked at it that way at that time. I got a lot of those ideas that he wasn't ready from talking to people that, you know, that played the game and saw him during spring training. And so I didn't know why they pushed it so much. Now, he had the big April, but the numbers started to tail off around April 20th, yep. April 22nd. And so, you know, he just didn't adjust when pitchers adjusted to him. And it should have happened like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think. There's some very smart people, some very smart writers that have been telling me for a month he should be good down. And so, you know, I just think that they rushed the kid. And it's a problem throughout baseball is rushing players. And it's they always say in like they'll be like, you know, I mean, they'll say like Cora would admit, like, you know, the most difficult, like, it's the gap between AAA and the majors right now is larger than ever in talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so why rush a kid right now? Why he had played like 9 AAA games last year or something like that, or I don't know how, 10 to 20. And so it's like, why rush him if the gap is bigger than ever? And I think they just wanted that to work and it didn't. And now he's got to go down and they've got to, you know, he's got to and hopefully this, like, you know, this will help. Hopefully it's helped for a lot of players to go back down and to, you know, figure things out. He needs to do that.
Yeah. And hopefully he does figure it out real quick. Chris, before we let you go here, tomorrow night, Rafael Devers, we're seeing him less than a week after the trade. How do you anticipate this weekend goes for the team, wins and losses wise, and also the emotion or lack thereof of having to face their old teammate?
I think it's going to be a crazy weekend. I said, like, I asked Alex Cora, like, on Wednesday if he had watched the Rafi interview and what he thought about him saying that he'd be open to playing any position, first base, whatever. Just let me do anything. It's the men in the front office. They're the guys that decide it and yada, yada, yada. And how much of a different tone that was from the Red Sox. And basically he said the reply was like putting that in the past, you know, that's, you know, turning the page. That was his turning the page. And then on Thursday today's Thursday. So I asked that Tuesday when he had the press conference. And on Wednesday I said, you know, you said yesterday you're turning the page, but you're about to, you know, that you're going to go to San Francisco right now. Are you prepared for that? Are you like, you know, is that going to be a tough weekend for you? And I think that, like, you know, Cora's a good person to handle this. He's going to get a ton of questions there. There's going to be national reporters that have hung over from Yeah, and there's going to be a bunch of Red Sox reporters who weren't in Seattle that are going to have at least 3 or 4 that weren't in Seattle that are going to be asking questions. And there's also going to be, you know, Giants reporters, I assume, that are going to be asking him questions about, like, you know, what went wrong, like what his personality and stuff like that. So he's not going to get away with it. He's not going to get, like, it's not going to go away this weekend. It's going to be extremely amplified. He's going to get a ton of questions, but if anybody can handle it, it's Alex Cora. I mean, like, this is a guy that answered a million questions about, you know, the Houston Astros cheating scandal and did it, you know, well,
yeah.
Extremely well to the point where he actually now says things about that. Like, oh, I learned about, when no one even brings it up, like he'll bring back like, oh, you know, I learned my lesson in this and stuff like that. So he has a way of a knack of doing this, but I don't think he's going to say much this weekend. I have a feeling because Rafi didn't say much about the situation.
Yeah.
And he indicated that when he answered my question, he said, like, I'll answer what I want, like he did, like Rafael did. Now Rafael didn't answer much. So he might take that same approach because, you know, I mean, if that guy's not going to do it, why should he?
Yeah, good point. That is the voice of Chris Smith, Mass Live. Great coverage all week of this monumental, earth-shattering trade here in Red Sox Nation. You guys are doing a great job covering it on the beat, and I thank you for the time tonight.
All right, thanks for having me.
Very good. That is Chris Smith joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. Great stuff, as always, from him. If you missed any of that, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're about an hour and 45 minutes away from Dongs. Looking forward to the Dong Report at 9:30. We got nightly news at 8:30. And when we come back, you may have seen this video going around. Adrian Peterson getting in a fight at a poker room, and he lost. He lost the fight. And the guy he was fighting was not a very big guy. We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hand off on third down. He runs to a first down. He sprints to the far side across the 50. He breaks the tackle, and Adrian Peterson is loose. He has scored. Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes. Inside the 20. Touchdown.
296 yards for Adrian Peterson. The greatest rushing performance in the history of the National Football League.
Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Why the Adrian Peterson highlights? I'll tell you why, because Adrian Peterson was in the news today. Great rejoin, by the way. Adrian Peterson, who was a tremendous running back, a freak. Derrick Henry, Christian Okoye, all the big beefy running backs you can think of.
You could Peterson, make the argument that he's top five all time.
Numbers-wise, I don't know if he still can numbers-wise, but I would say in his prime years, he was about as good as I've ever seen. I mean, he was unbelievable. Peterson, in 2014, was indicted in Texas on charges of beating his children. He admitted that he did it. He said he hit him with belts and switches and stuff, and it was this whole thing, and it was really rough. I mean, they showed pictures of the kids and all that, and it was ugly.
It was like after that 2,000-yard season where he was like 9 yards short or something like that, right, of the record, that's where it all started to go down.
Yeah. In 2018, Peterson had to repay a Minnesota bank after he defaulted on a loan. In 2019, a Maryland state judge ordered him pay another creditor $2.4 million. 2018, a loan company sued Peterson after he defaulted on a 2016 loan and failed to make the full payment of $5.2 million. 2022, he was arrested at Los Angeles Airport Police for a domestic incident with his wife on a flight where the plane had to go back to the airport gate. And he also got a DUI back in April. And none of that is what I'm here to tell you about. What I'm here to tell you about, oh, also in 2022, he became a celebrity boxer and got beat up by Le'Veon Bell. I forgot about that, too. And that probably should have given you an idea of what this thing today ended up being. Now, as I just described, this is a guy who is not doing well financially. This is a guy who is getting sued by loan companies and banks and so forth. And yet, he's in the poker room. Gambling away whatever money he had. I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's pretty heavily in debt.
Or trying to earn it back.
Could be that, too. And that's a great way to do it, by the way. That's if you know, if you're really in debt, a good way to get out of that debt is to go play a lot of poker and hope that you can win all the money back. That's a good way to do it. Very sound thinking there from Adrian Peterson. Anyway, a video came out today, and it shows Adrian Peterson in a poker room getting up from the poker table and confronting another gentleman. And when I tell you that the other gentleman was about the size of Andy Hart, if you're watching on Twitch, you can see the guy in the sweatshirt, and you can see Peterson, obviously, is still a very large man. And when he played, I mean, he was, like, freakishly big. He's a little smaller than he was in his playing days. But these two guys square up. Adrian Peterson and Andy Hart. It's not really Andy Hart, but it kind of looks like Andy Hart. So that's
nah, this guy's got a couple inches on him.
He's maybe like an inch or two on Andy, but he's not much bigger. I mean, he's considerably smaller than Adrian Peterson, is the point. And they square up. Peterson walks right up to him. Andy Hart throws the first punch and connects.
Of course, Andy throws the first punch.
The Andy Hart looking guy connects. He swings on Adrian Peterson. And then Peterson charges at him. And this guy, you can tell this guy likes to fight, right? Like, you can tell this little guy, just from his footwork, I can tell this is a guy who's been in a lot of fights. He keeps his head down. He backs up. He dodges two punches from Peterson and connects two more times with a right hook, and Peterson threw a hook that if he connected.
Not
he
to
probably
mention
would've...
he used the chair as some defense.
That's true. And if Peterson had connected on one of those hooks, then this thing would have been over probably right then. But he didn't. He missed. And this guy was good. I mean, he kept his head moving. He got out of the way. And then Peterson basically got him pinned up against the wall. And that's when the video cuts off. And so maybe after that, Peterson beat the bag out of the guy. I don't know. But up until that point, the other guy was winning the fight. You watch that video. If you're on Twitch and you're looking at that video right now, if you had to declare a winner, the other guy won. The other guy beat Adrian Peterson in the fight. And not only that, he wasn't scared of Adrian Peterson at all. Not at all. Just think about that. That's like, that'd be like Andy Hart fighting Ted Johnson, kind of. It'd be like the same kind of thing. An ex-pro athlete. I don't think Peterson's in the same shape Ted is, but he's a lot younger than Ted. No offense, Ted, but, you know, he is. He's a young guy, younger guy than Ted. And Peterson got rocked. Peterson took, I would say, four punches that probably would have dropped a non-professional athlete, like dropped him. And he almost dropped Peterson, this guy. And maybe this guy is like a great fight, you know, maybe he's like he looked like someone who's been in fights before and someone who likes to fight. But even if you're someone who likes to fight, when Adrian Peterson stands up and says, "All right, you and me right now," you don't
man
like
needs to know his own limitations.
You don't maybe like to fight so much anymore. It's like, yeah, I love getting in fights. And all of a sudden you see Adrian Peterson. It's like, you know what? I've reconsidered my position. I don't really like to fight anymore. And that can happen at any time. I'm not a guy who likes to fight. I've never started a fight in my life. I've been in fights, but it was never one that I started. It's usually...
You just finished them.
Well, not even that, but like I'd get involved because my friends got in the fight or something like that, you know, or somebody jumped one of my friends or...
I can imagine you in college. Ugh, I got to get involved again.
I mean, it kind of was that. I had a couple of friends who were just... We stopped hanging out because like every time we went out, they were causing problems with somebody. And, you know, all of a sudden we're out in line and out near the bar and there's four guys and all, okay, well, now we got to fight them. And it's like, I'm not really, you know, like I know how to, I can protect myself, but I don't like going out and having to fight random people. Like, I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to be running up on. I don't know if someone's going to have like a knife or a gun or be this guy in the poker room who beat up Adrian Peterson. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. You never know who you're messing with. That's why I try not to get too aggressive on the roads anymore. I don't know if someone's going to jump out of the car and come, you know, light up my the passenger side door.
You'll just
I don't,
attack birds and animals. That's all.
That's exactly right. I will do that. But Peterson, tough look, man. Tough look, number one, to be as in debt as he is.
You are an angry large man.
In a poker room. And then to get beat up by Andy Hart on top of it. I mean, that is...
I'm very important.
It's a tough night. Tough night for old AP. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, though. That's for sure. I wonder if his kids somewhere are watching that video like, yeah, kick his ass. Screw you, Dad. If I was
they were there. They were there as like ring card people.
Yeah, right.
Or like they had signs.
They were like in the other guy's corner, like, come on, champ, get out there. Get him with the hook. Come on, keep your head down. Go to the body, go to the body.
See, you're smaller. You got to duck and move.
He like throws a switch into the ring. He's like, here, use this. Here's a belt. Guy starts whipping Peterson.
Go for the legs. Knock him down to your size.
Anyway, that's what's going on. Where was this at? Was this in Texas, I think? Texas where this all happened? I think it was a Texas poker room. Maybe it was some other place. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. All that matters is that Adrian Peterson got in a fight with a guy in a poker room.
He's having a rough retirement.
He really is. And he was having, at the end of his career, was kind of rough too. All right, quick break. When we come back, the NBA Finals are about to start. Well, not the NBA Finals are about to start. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is about to start here in about a half hour. And I have some thoughts on the Finals, and I have some thoughts on what was said today about the Celtics and some of the crazy trade offers that are getting sent to Brad Stevens. We'll have that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.